The international news. Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. The Black Stars of Ghana have one of the proudest pedigrees on the continent. 4 African titles, plus 3 FIFA World Cup appearances. The quest to qualify for a 4th World Cup, however, has begun in less than impressive fashion, and that has raised concern among Ghanaian fans. Joining us now from the capital, Accra, is Yao Afusu-Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Now, Ghana's senior national football team, the Black Stars, by and large represents the hopes and dreams of the fans of this football-crazy country. Certainly, for the last 15 years, the team has risen to become torchbearers for the entire continent, like when all of Africa united to support the team at the 2010 World Cup.
Now that's hooked forward. Here's a chase for Gian. He's one on two. It is Gian. He's in the area. He scores! Ghana are back in front. A goal of individual brilliance from Asamoah Gyan.
Since making their debut at the Global Football Showpiece in 2006, Ghana has qualified for all but one of the next 3 FIFA World Cup competitions, with the 2018 edition in Russia being the only one the country failed to qualify for. But now, making the next edition appears to be in danger after a shaky start to the qualifying campaign. Ghana opened the qualifiers with a not-so-convincing 1-0 victory against Ethiopia before losing by the same scoreline to the Bafana Bafana of South Africa 3 days later in Johannesburg. With 3 points in the group after 2 games, just a point behind group leader South Africa, typically there would not be cause for concern. But the team's poor performances in the 2 games have left many genuinely afraid that the Black Stars might not qualify for Qatar 2022.
We may top this group. We may end up topping this group. That's why I said we are sitting on time bomb. With this, I can bet my last peswa. We will not qualify if this is the level of coaching and the quality of players.
That is Christopher Nimley, a renowned football pundit in the country and a football coach himself. Pressure is mounting on head coach C.K. Akono, with fans calling for his sack following the South Africa defeat. The hashtag SackCK was trending on social media on the day of the game. The frustrations of fans have largely been justified. In the Black Stars' last 4 matches, the team has only managed to score 1 goal and registered just 5 shots on target in that period. The head coach acknowledged the glaring goal-scoring problem after the Ethiopia game and promised to fix it.
Let me be honest with you. I know you were not happy. You want to see us score 2-3 goals. Today we created the chances. You know, we had chances to score. Unfortunately, we came out with one. Hopefully, I strongly believe that in the coming matches, it will improve.
But they did not improve against South Africa. The Black Stars had no shot on target the entire game. A former sports minister, Neil Antivandapoy, believes the problem extends beyond the head coach and the team needs a total overhaul.
I want to take the radical step, which is sacking the whole technical team and also revolutionizing the team, making sure we have a new crop of players with just some few, like the coup that Nyao Tamarako did in Accra as a folks. If we want to change the sphere of this team, then let's convince ourselves that we have a backup. That tomorrow, if we should say that we are doing away with Siki, there's somebody who will come in. We are doing away with this crop of players. There are people who immediately will fill in.
One thing is obvious. A lot needs to change about the way the team plays, and quickly too. With the second round of qualifiers scheduled for the first week of October, the next 3 weeks could be the deciding factor in whether the Black Stars of Ghana will be flying the red, gold and green flag of the West African nation in Qatar next year. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusulabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. Now let's go to Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone did not win any medals at the recent Paralympics in Japan, but I think Team Sierra Leone is still worthy of a Sunny Side of Sports salute. Ophaniel Gooding reports from Freetown, Sierra Leone.
The Paralympic has ended, and Sierra Leone athletes back home without laurels, but with profound pride of exemplary performance, as the country was ranked number one in Africa in the long jump T46 category, but 10th in the global ranking. Alexandra Tula is the Secretary General of the National Paralympic Committee for Sierra Leone, said he was impressed, even though he was not expecting a big moment. He knew that the team would rise up to the occasion.
The experience itself as a whole has been a very good one. It was really an interesting one, and it was a different experience completely. I think I was really impressed. My words of encouragement were just do what you're capable of doing and let the world see. They listened to that, and at the end of the day, we saw what happened. I was not expecting big moments, but I was very much confident that our athletes will come and spark up and surprises. And they did that. For everybody that is going for a competition, you always want to come back with something that the people should be proud of. And we came back with something that everybody is talking about today, and that is we've been able to let our athletes that is doing the long jump for us become the number one in Africa. He actually ended up as in 12th position, but he's now number one in Africa. And for the girl, she was among the two Africans that took part in the games. She was in number 10th position. She's in number two now in Africa. If they competed against the rest of the world, and you know, the Algerian went further, and she was unable to actually reach the level of the Algerian, so it means she's in second.
He said one of the athletes is mere 15, and this is her first time on the global stage to represent the country.
Imagine a young girl, age 15, taking part against people who've won the event of javelin throw over three times or more. She was throwing 15.16 before the games. Instead of 15.16, this time it was 20 point something. So it tells you how improved she has been. And for the male athlete, he was jumping 4 point something before we left Sierra Leone. And he was almost clear in the 6 meters distance. So it tells you how much these guys were able to actually focus on their event. I think we are very much pleased with what we saw in the games, and we're coming to work now on the future.
Tula said one of their challenges was that they only took part in one qualifiers, and if Sierra Leone should make a leeway in Paralympic, they need to participate in more qualifying series.
We sent them to Tunisia prior to the games to try to qualify. Well, we had a bit of struggle in qualifying because of, you know, we didn't take part in a number of qualifiers. We just took part in one as a nation. So that's something that we have to work on, because if we want to be in Paralympic Games in the future, then we have to be participating in different qualifiers to get our athletes prepared for the games. But trust me, when we sent them to Tunisia, they were both track athletes. But when we were sending them to Tunisia, we told them, you need to train a little bit on field events as well. And they listened to us. They both went to that competition in Tunisia, the Tunisian Grand Prix, and they performed extremely well. They came back with medals. It sent a signal to the authorities that if concentration is given to disabled sports in the country, they can actually come back with laurels and make a difference. When they came back, we had to have engagement with the International Paralympic Committee. And at the end of the day, because we just took part in one qualifiers, these athletes, we are not qualified for the games. But we applied for what we call the bipartite. And in that bipartite, two slots were given to Sierra Leone. Had it not been for our effort we've been making in the past, those two slots were never going to be given to Sierra Leone. But we had those two slots, and we went on to participate and made the world feel like they're sporting Sierra Leone.
Even though their dreams were shattered, the athletes are back home, heads up high, after putting up an exemplary performance. Ophaniel Gooden reporting for VOA.
Thanks, Ophanio.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In African athletics, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Nigerian Toby Amusan, who set a new African record of 12.42 seconds in winning the women's 100 meters hurdles final at the Diamond League meet in Zurich, Switzerland. A few facts about Toby. She's 24 years old. At the Olympics in Tokyo last month, Toby finished just off the medals podium in fourth place with a time of 12.60 seconds. And Toby was a student athlete here in the USA at the University of Texas at El Paso where she won races and medals. For reaction to her new African record, Iron Mike Mbonye called Texas, where he reached Toby's coach and mentor, Abiola Onakoya.
This is the representative of Team Toby, Amoson. We are Ijebus from Ogun State, and we are based out of Texas in the United States, and that's where we make everything work. And her setting African record, I think the African record already went down at the national trial in Yabatec. Unfortunately, there were technical issues in which the time, you know, was not be able to record it. So I am so happy right now that, well, we wanted it to happen in our backyard. It didn't, but it happened in the bigger stage. So I'm really, really happy and grateful for that. And I wish to be congratulations, the entire Ijebus, the entire Ogun State and Nigeria as a whole. And there are still more very much athletes who can do better. And we are looking forward to the next season.
How long have you known Toby Amoso? And has she lived up to expectations?
Well, personally, I've known Toby from while she was in, I think, GSS 3 when she started a sport. And she was, you know, running in the school sport and all those stuff. And that's how we met at Ijebude Stadium. And since then, I've been following her athletics career up until when she was able to win the Commonwealth Games, the African Championship back-to-back. And, you know, she transferred to University of Texas at El Paso, where she finished her education. And has she become a professional? Well, Toby have lived to expectation, even beyond expectation, since the very first time she's been running. She has always delivered. She gives her best in every competition. She lays everything online. It was a little bit painful that she was not be able to get on the podium in the Olympics, but this is to show that Toby is a force to be reckoned with. She's going to win many more championships, and this is for us to, you know, to rally around behind her and help her achieve this goal in which she wants to achieve, you know, running track.
Do you see Toby Amoso making a podium performance in future international events like the Paris 2024 Olympic Games?
Definitely. You know, she missed, narrowly missed the podium this time, and we are very, very sure and optimistic that she will medal at the next Olympics.
That's Abiola Onakoya, a coach and mentor of Toby Amoson, the new African record holder in the women's 100 meters hurdles. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from the U.S. state of Texas.
My name is Abiola Onakoya, the behind-the-scene guy of the current African record holder, Oluwatobiloba Amoson, in the 100 meters hurdles. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. Turning to tennis, you might say it's a teen dream women's singles final at the U.S. Open in New York. teenagers from Canada and Britain have advanced to Saturday's title match, as we hear now from the AP's Graham Agars.
Two unseeded teenagers have made it through to the US Open women's final, and one of them is a qualifier. Unprecedented. 19-year-old Canadian Layla Fernandez was the first through, winning yet another rollercoaster battle, closing out the second seed Aryna Sabalenka 6-4 in the third set.
I think one word that really stuck to me is magical, because not only is my run really good, but also the way I'm playing right now, I'm just having fun.
18-year-old Brit qualifier Emma Raducanu followed not long after, reaching the most improbable of finals with her sixth consecutive straight sets win, this time 6-1, 6-4, over the 17th seed Maria Sakkari. I'm Graham Agar.
Thanks, Graham. British teenager Emma Raducanu describes the significance of making it to her first Grand Slam final.
I wanted, obviously, to be playing Grand Slams, but I didn't know how soon that would be. And to be in a Grand Slam final at this stage in my career, I have no words.
The men's single semifinals are later Friday at the U.S. Open. In the first semifinal, Daniil Medvedev of Russia will play Felix Auger-Aliassime of Canada, and that will be followed by a match between Olympic champion Alexander Zverev of Germany and world number one Novak Djokovic of Serbia. Djokovic is only two victories away from a Grand Slam sweep of this year's major tournaments, something that hasn't been done by a male player since Rod Laver in 1969. Djokovic is also well aware that Zverev beat him in the semifinals of the Olympic tournament in Tokyo. So it's shaping up as a great semifinal at the U.S. Open.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Samson Omale joins us now with a spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sunny. We'll begin to wrap up this weekend's sports action on the African continent with athletics. The last of the series of the World Athletics Diamond League took place on Thursday night in Zurich with exciting results posted by athletes from the African continent. Nigeria's Oluwatobiloba Amusun became the first Nigerian athlete in history to win a Diamond League trophy on Thursday, storming to victory in the women's 100 meters hurdles. Miss Amusa did it in style, shattering Gloria Alozi's African record of 12.44 seconds and running a new personal best and area record of 12.42 seconds. Also in Zurich, Namibian teenager Christine Umboma won the women's 200 meters in the Diamond League final on Thursday, returning a time of 21.78 seconds. In other events, two-time Olympic champion Faith Kipyegon held off the Netherlands' Sifan Hassan to claim the 1,500 meters title at the end of a thrilling home straight duel. There was another Kenyan victory in the men's race as world champion Timothy Cheruiyot took some revenge for Jacob Ingebrigtsen's win in Tokyo, outlasting the Norwegian as they went toe-to-toe over the final 100 meters.
Deji Ogembo is an athletic sports reporter based in Nigeria. He speaks on the performance of the African athletes at the Diamond League in Zurich on Thursday.
It's really nice to see African athletes dominate some of the Diamond League events yesterday, especially from Eastern Africa and Western Africa. For Toby Amuson, she became the first Nigeria to win a Diamond Trophy. Having had a bit of disappointment from not winning the or getting on the podium at the World Champs in Doha in 2019 to also missing out on the podium in Tokyo. Well, for Christine Mboma, it's been a stellar 2021 for her. At the Olympics, she won a silver. She became the world champion in the 20 category in Nairobi at the World Juniors, and now ending the season with a Diamond Trophy. And another fantastic run from Faith Kipyegon over the 1.5 meters, winning the Diamond Trophy for the first time since 2017. So it was really great for African athletes, and it's always nice to see that they'll be in contention going into the World Championships in Oregon next year.
Staying with athletics news, Ghana Athletics Association has announced its short and long-term goals for the Paris 2024 Olympic Games. Addressing a press conference in Accra on Thursday, Ghana Athletics Association President Afalabek Ababu said their short-term targets include how the association will guide at least 15 athletes to qualify for the Paris Olympics. Mr. Ababu also plans to train coaches that will bring their relevant skills to bear on their athletes.
Our short-term goal is to be able to prepare athletes towards next year. And then from there, we'll build on it. We are coming out with a calendar that will span up to 2024. And that calendar is going to determine our activities and then how we are going to organize the athletes. And so for our long-term goal, we want to ensure that by the time we get to the next Olympics, we should be qualifying at least 15 to 20 athletes to the Olympics. And they should be athletes that would at least get us some medals.
And now to some volleyball news. Host Rwanda have advanced to the quarterfinals of the 2021 Volleyball African Nations Championships following a 25-14, 25-20 and 25-16 win over Burkina Faso in Group A on Thursday evening with a game to spare. Coach Paul Ditasso Miragles oversees the Rwanda volleyball men's team.
Yeah, to win, it's always important. And for our first match, everybody was kind of nervous. And we didn't play as I expected, especially in the first two sets. So what is important now is the result, and we won. Now the preparation will be better because now we have video edited. And for this game, we came, as we say, totally blind.
Captain of Rwanda volleyball team, Yakanguma Lawrence, says the energy in the team is so high and they are expected to go very far in the championship.
Yeah, of course, a win is a win at the end of the day, and you have to celebrate it. Because every team that came here came to compete, didn't come to just play. So we thank God that you have won today's game, and we wait for the next one. The energy is too much. Everybody is there. All the players are ready to go. Everybody is in the system. The morale is too high. You know, the energy is too much right now on the team. That's what I can say. Our target is to play good and to make sure that we win game by game. Every game we win is a step ahead. Every game we win is a step ahead. That's our target.
Also through to the quarterfinal is Uganda. The Uganda national volleyball team beat Burundi in three straight sets to record their second victory during a Pool A duel played at the Kigali Sports Arena on Thursday. This is the second victory for Uganda that guarantees a slot for the team in the quarterfinals, even with a game to spare against host Rwanda on Friday. The tournament's top team will directly qualify for next year's World Cup, which will be held in Russia in 2022. The African Nations Volleyball Championship runs from September 7th to September 16th in Kigali, Rwanda. In Friday's games, Rwanda will face Uganda to vie for a top spot in Group A, while Ethiopia will do battle with Nigeria for qualification in Group B. Egypt and Kenya are in a race for a quarterfinal berth from Group D.
My name is Elizabeth Okumu, assistant captain and player, University of Nairobi Dynamite basketball team, and currently a player of Lioness, the Kenya national team. You're listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
To basketball, where the inaugural edition of the FIBA Africa Youth Camp is underway. The first elite camp, which is aimed at boys and girls under the age of 18 and coaches, will be held across three cities. That's Nairobi in Kenya, Sali in Senegal, and Abidjan in Cote d'Ivoire. And it will be conducted by 20 FIBA and NBA experts. The first installment for the youth camp started on Monday in Nairobi and ended on Thursday at the Nyayo National Stadium Basketball Arena in Nairobi, with 45 young basketball players participating from 16 countries. The FIBA Africa Youth Camp will focus on life skills, combining basketball and education, leadership, character development, health, and wellness. Naufal Uriachi, one of the FIBA coaches for the youth camp, speaks further on the youth program.
And having these young talents here is just a fantastic experience. And as a group of coaches, we are trying to get them to improve their skills in order to move to the next level.
The talent scout for FIBA, Sarah Chan, says beyond learning basketball skills, there are other life skills the players will be given to help them in their future endeavors.
You see all the skill coaches and the kids coming out positive and excited about this camp. It's very important in their own journeys, you know, not just from a basketball skill type of investment, but also in the life skills, what they take home, how it builds their character, how it builds community, how it brings unity. I think it's extremely important and much needed on the continent.
Joe Talmon is the technical director of NBA Africa. He speaks on the NBA's involvement and the future of basketball on the African continent.
I've never kind of looked down on a player because he or she is not tall. You can always compensate size with intelligence. You can compensate size with speed. And you can compensate size with toughness. And I always tell players who don't have the height that, listen, as long as you're smart, as long as you have the skills, you can compete against the tall ones.
In tennis, South African tennis ace Lloyd Harris' dream run at the U.S. Open in New York is over after a quarterfinal defeat to Alexander Zverev at Flushing Meadows on Wednesday, but his rankings on the ATP Tour has gotten a massive boost. The 24-year-old lost in straight sets to Zverev in New York in what was his first appearance in the last eight of a Grand Slam. On his way to the quarters, Harris beat three seeded players. Lloyd Harris had entered the tournament ranked 46th in the world, but thanks to his run into the last eight, he will move up to 31st when the updated rankings are released next Monday. For the 24-year-old, 2021 has been a remarkable year despite the COVID-19 pandemic.
Had some big wins, top players, a lot of seeds I took out, and played a five-setter, and you know, physically I was in good shape even today, so you know, I feel like there's a lot I learned from this week and a lot I can take moving forward. So, I mean, I'm really happy with the tournament as a whole, for sure. I mean, it's my first quarterfinals in a slam, so I'll take that. Actually, I have Davis Cup next week that we're playing here in New York. So I'll be here for a little bit longer. And, yeah, then just we'll reassess after that and, you know, see where my head's at and where the body's at. And but I'll definitely be around for Indian Wells, that's for sure.
And now to cricket. Rwanda's women cricket team on Thursday secured their first victory at the ICC Africa Women's T20 World Cup Africa qualifiers in Gaborone, Botswana, after beating Mozambique by 10 wickets in their opening game. Host Botswana, Eswatini, Mozambique, Rwanda, Tanzania, and Zimbabwe are all in Pool A. Whilst Cameroon, Namibia, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, and Uganda will form Group B in the 11-team tournament to be played in Gaborone from September the 9th to the 19th. The top two teams from each group will play in the semifinals before the two finalists compete for the lone qualification spot to the Global Qualifier 2022 on September 19th. Team Nigeria's 25-member contingent is being led by Miriam Suleiman.
We don't really have any beach at all. In the camp, the spirit is very high. Our girls are at their top form. And then our expectation is that we are going victorious this time around.
Ugandan senior national women's cricket team coach Suraj Karavadra says their preparations is going on as planned.
We're making sure that we're keeping to our fundamentals, making sure we're doing the basics well, everything that we've practiced over the last sort of 5-6 weeks.
And now to some football news. South African football fans who are vaccinated can now get free entry to watch the national team play Ethiopia in a World Cup qualifier next month. The Country Football Association head Danny Jordan said the deal will apply to half the tickets. It is also subject to an agreement with the government and depends on how many fans show up. And to East Africa, where Football Kenya Federation has begun a 4-month-long CAF B license course in Kenya. The CAF B license course is the first in the country in over 10 years. The Kenya Football Federation has so far trained over 4,000 coaches at the CAF D license level and over 600 coaches at the CAF C license level. Football Kenya Federation President Nick Manwenwa, who presided over the opening ceremony, expressed the Federation's commitment to coaching education, noting that it is the only way Kenya can nurture talented footballers.
Every week of 54 weeks across a year, we have a coaching training going on somewhere in the country, in a county somewhere. This is unprecedented. This has never been done.
Football Kenya Federation President Nick Mwendwa. And thanks to Samson Omale for that extra spicy African sports package. And that wraps up the September 10th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.